Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. If you would be kind enough to take the sheets that you have along with your bulletins this day, you can follow the reading of the text and the explanation thereof as we go in on this second Wednesday in Lent. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The context is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You remember Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. The context then having been said, we read the text from John chapter 11, beginning at the 41st verse. So they moved the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I knew that you always hear me, but I spoke so that the people standing around me will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet and hands wrapped in bandages, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the ruling priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council. They asked, "What are we doing? This man is working many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, told them, "You do not know anything, and you do not consider that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish." "He did not think of this himself," adds John, "but the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for this nation, but also to bring God's scattered children together and make them one." From that day on, they planned to kill Jesus. So Jesus no longer walked in public among the Jews. Instead, he left there and went into the country near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim. There he stayed with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near, and many came from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? He is not coming to the festival, is he?" The ruling priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where he was, he should report it so that they might arrest him. Thus far, our text. The theme for this Lenten season, perspective. Last week we looked at the perspective of fasting from the Bible. Fasting, a thing that is often done by people during the season of Lent. Today we go in a little bit different direction, the direction that we will go during the rest of Lent, and that is looking at people. What perspective did they have in relation to Jesus? And we're going to be quite surprised when we see the perspective of Caiaphas after we get done kind of running through this text again. Did you notice that the word believe was underlined three times? The whole thing really sets up the problem. Oh, there was a big problem after Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. People started to believe, and that caused a lot of turmoil in the minds of those who were after job security. They didn't know the Old Testament very well, but it had already predicted in Zechariah 12 that one day the Levite priesthood would come to an end, because someone greater than a Levite was going to occupy the priesthood. That would be Jesus, who would be a priest in the likeness of Melchizedek, who wasn't a Levite at all. See, if you were a Levite, you had to serve. God didn't want people who just had to serve him. He wanted Lutherans who would serve him because they wanted to serve him. He wanted a son, his only son, to serve, not because he had to take the cup and drink it, but because he was willing to do it. And Jesus said that in Gethsemane, did he not? Not my will, but your will be done. A whole different attitude toward keeping the law. A whole different attitude toward following the will of God. Why are you here today? Are you here because, wow, God will strike me with some judgment if I don't go to Lenten services? No, you should be here because you want to serve him. That's a hard attitude to have here, because we like to be in control. And really, as much as we are Christians, the old nature does not like God to be in control. Here was the problem. I don't know which of Jesus' miracles was the greatest. Oh, that is putting that whole redemption thing. Those miracles of him dying on the cross, they're in a different category. But of his miracles like healing leprosy, turning water into wine, what would be the greatest? Well, I know which one was the most effective, and that was the resurrection of Lazarus. This turned the tables completely. From the moment he called Lazarus out of that grave, Jesus was as good as dead, because now there was only one goal of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and that was crucifixion. He has got to go. He's becoming way too popular. As they said, everybody's going to believe in him if we don't put a stop to this, and then we're going to be in real trouble with the Roman government. So they called what? They called a council. The Sanhedrin came together to form a plan on how they could find Jesus, arrest Jesus, try Jesus, crucify Jesus, dead and buried. That was the goal from the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This was a shocker, because it isn't like somebody could think, well, he really wasn't dead. He just kind of passed out in the tomb, and when Jesus called out his name real loud, it woke him up, and he came staggering out. The only problem is the body of Lazarus was already decaying. It was stinking, as the Bible says. Now, you don't wake up a decaying man and have him come out and look like he's halfway alive. So this was a shocker to the people. Nobody has done this before, not even the great Elijah and Elisha. They hadn't done one like this. But here came Jesus of Nazareth. He might just be the prophet. He just might be the Messiah that they waited for 4,000 years. The council was convened, and everybody had a piece of advice, And Caiaphas, being the leader and the most cruel of all, and let me tell you a little bit about this priesthood of Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and Caiaphas. Well, first of all, if you start way back at Julius Caesar's time and come forward from about 44 BC to 70 AD, the Romans put in 28 high priests. You never knew if your job was secure or not. You crossed the Romans, you were out, and another guy was in. And so everybody wanted to please the Romans so that they could keep their pension and their, well, you know, their bank accounts and everything like that. Put it into our terms, because that's what it was about in those days. Money was not the most important thing, but it was far ahead of what it was ever in second place, which means it was in first place. And that's what it's all about. And we'll see that at the end of the message today. In any event, Caiaphas finally thought, I got to take over this situation. We are getting nowhere. And that's where we come there in verses 49 and 50, where it says, but one of them, Caiaphas by name, who was the high priest that year, told them, you do not know anything, and you do not consider that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish. What does he mean? Well, at Passover, and you know it's getting near Passover time, because you heard that at the end of the text. Well, around Passover time was a time when some kook would rise and claim he was the Messiah. It happened time after time. And there could be revolt in the city. If there was anything in this story that Caiaphas did not want, that Pontius Pilate later would not want, was a riot at Passover. Because if there's a riot, you can be sure that the Caesar in Rome would be calling whoever was the governor home and putting in a new governor who would get a new high priest who could control things. 28 high priests in a few years. Those were lifetime appointments, you know, according to Leviticus 16. But the point is, if you divide 28 into the number of years there, each guy had a relatively small tenure as high priest. So Caiaphas, from his perspective, wants to hold his job, and he does not want the Romans coming in and needing to squelch a riot. So he's got a plan, a beautiful plan, a plan from his perspective, a plan from man's perspective. The only problem is we are in God's perspective when we are in Lent. But let's go back to Caiaphas and let him try to pull his little trick. He says, now look it, guys. You don't even know what you're talking about. Listen to my advice. It's better that we take this Jesus of Nazareth, who everybody is running after and thinking that he's the Messiah and is going to have the Romans come and destroy us. It's best that he, that one man, die instead of all the people. What a neat concept. It's God's concept. But Caiaphas doesn't realize that. God's concept is one man as a substitute for all the rotten, filthy, good-for-nothing sinners who have lived since Adam and Eve's time right down to you and me right here in this church today and on to Judgment Day. There is none good, no, not one. We don't want to hear that, but it is the truth. You're going to hear it if we are preaching faithfully from this pulpit. In any event, he thought, great idea. Have Jesus crucified, get him out of the way, no riot, I keep my job, you guys that are Levites, you keep your job, and we go on as it has been since the beginning of time, almost. Except John adds this. This is the zinger in the text. After they record the words of Caiaphas, then John says, he, That is Caiaphas. Look at your sheet, please. Verse 51. Verse 51. He did not think of this himself. The he is Caiaphas. He did not think of this himself. It was put into his mind by God. In what way? Well, Caiaphas came up with the idea, but God twisted the idea around. And here's the crux of the message, is it not? Do you remember Advent 2 years ago? What Pastor Green and I preached on in a series? We did the book of Numbers, didn't we? And we had a false prophet by the name of Balaam. Remember, there was a king by the name of Balak, and he was right there where the Israelites were coming from Mount Sinai through 40 years, and they were coming up to the land of Canaan, going to pass through his territory, and the Israelites had already defeated two nations on their way, and Balak was trembling, and he said, "Oh, what am I going to do?" So he sends for Balaam over 500 miles away in modern-day Iraq, in that time called Mesopotamia, Babylon. He came all the way around the Fertile Crescent. He was offered large sums of money, this Balaam was. And what was he supposed to do for that money? Put a curse, a whammy, onto the Israelites. Speak some curse over them, and like magic, the Israelites would either disappear or Balak would win the victory. 3 times, Balaam goes out and speaks over Israel to speak the curse, and as he opens his mouth, God turns the words around in his mouth, and he speaks a blessing instead of a curse. Balak was not too happy with that he had paid him big money and he does the opposite. But he had no choice. God was in charge. You see, God does it his way, not the Sinatra way, okay? God is God, and he's going to get his plan done. And his plan is to have Jesus die as a substitute, which is good. The only thing is, Caiaphas didn't think of it in this way. And so John writes, Caiaphas did not think of this himself, verse 51. But being high priest that year, it's interesting that John twice puts in that year, because you never knew who was going to be in there the next year. So anyway, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. Yeah, Caiaphas didn't realize that Jesus would die in the place of the nation to wash away sins. He just thought by Jesus' death, the nation would be saved physically from the Romans. God is on a different level. You and I are on the physical level, looking into the mirror each morning. God is on the spiritual level with his plan that was already made before the world was created. Read Ephesians 1. And so God, having this plan, turns the meaning of Caiaphas' words right around, and yes, it is good that Jesus would die for the entire nation. You know, it says here that God was going to bring his scattered children together and make them one. That's at the end of verse 52. Now, that should immediately, when it says here that they were going to bring the scattered children together as one, your mind should go to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion, the get-together of the saints. That's not about Holy Communion. That's about God's people being one flock. We call it the Holy Christian Church. And it reminds you of the book of Ezekiel, where in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24, God predicts this, like 500 years before Jesus came, God said, my servant David will be their king. What? He's going to resurrect old King David from Bethlehem and make him king on the earth? Peter puts a kibosh to that on Pentecost, where he says, look at guys, the body of David is buried right over there. You could dig him up. That's not who God was talking about. He's talking about the new David, the greater than David, the new King David, King Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so he says, my servant David will be their king. This is from Ezekiel. I'm returning to that again. My servant David will be their king, and they all will have one shepherd. If all of them, that means oneness. So one shepherd, one flock, the believing flock, those who trust the word of God. It's all predicted. And God just turns the words around in meaning in the mouth of Caiaphas to bring these prophecies to fulfillment. There's two others that talk about David, the king, the new David, coming and being the shepherd over one flock. Well, from that day on, take a look at verse 53. From that day on, they planned to kill him. Do not become too popular and threaten the jobs of others, or you will end up on a cross if you lived in Jesus' day. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. Jesus no longer could walk in public among them. He went out to a city called Ephraim with his disciples and secluded himself. And it tells you in verse 55, the Passover was near. This is the Passover day on which Jesus will die for your sins, my sins, everybody's sins. It was the key day. God would set his people free as he did on the first Passover when he took them out of Egypt. He will now take us out of the Egypt of sin and rescue us through the words, it is finished. And so it says here, they were looking for Jesus. That is the people who came up for Passover early in order to be in their pews early for church on Passover at the cross or wherever. They came and they stood in the temple and they said, what do you think? Oh, it was a rumor all over the place. Jesus, where is he? He wouldn't be dumb enough to come up here now. Everybody knows the Pharisees are trying to arrest him and kill him. He won't show up, will he? That was the gossip all over the temple and over the city. Jesus was a legend in his own time. He was greater than Clint Eastwood, okay? He was the legend of that day and that age. And so it says, the ruling priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where he was, and of course that's a prelude to somebody who would know where he was, his name being Judas. They were looking for, oh yes, a covert operative, a mole right within the disciples of Jesus, huh? That's what they were looking for. And so that if anyone found out where he was, he should report it so that they could arrest him. In other words, Jesus had a price on his head. It would turn out to be 30 shekels of silver. But it was God's plan. Caiaphas' perspective. Now, I hate to shock you. Those of you who have sat in Lenten services for 40 years and tell you something that you don't know. Maybe you've caught it, but I think most probably have not. Do you know what the entire crucifixion story is from man's point of view? The people that were involved, Annas, Caiaphas, Pontius Pilate, whatever. You know what the perspective was? Job security. That's what the story is all about. Job security from man's point of view. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were very much afraid that their little, their little money nest would be disturbed, because the people were starting, especially in the north, and they would be coming south for the Passover. Jesus was popular, and the Lazarus thing just put the seal on the whole thing. Everybody was believing in him. Everybody was spreading the story of what he had done. And the Pharisees' popularity was waning. They could be out of a job. And their wives were probably pushing them also. Get out and get rid of this guy, because I need food on the table every week, and you better be doing your job and bringing the money home. Oh, isn't it terrible when the preacher makes it so practical that the Bible actually comes alive and you can see yourself in these stories? Because you and I sent him to the cross just as much as Caiaphas sent him there along with the consul. And that's why we need to regret in our hearts and have godly sorrow. Know that our thoughts, our words, our deeds have been against God. That's against whom we have sinned. Just like David said, against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in God's sight. Every one of us should be here today saying, Lord, I have really messed up my life in terms of what you wanted it to be. Now, you may say, well, I've done a pretty good job here. Well, God's not looking at how you did it. He's looking at it in the mirror of his law and his will. And we have to go and say, mercy, Lord, we blew it again. We're back here for another Lent because we haven't gotten any better since before. Wow, the Roman Catholic Board, Upstate Road, that's a beauty. Lent, a time to repent so that you can be the best that you can be. You're never going to be the best that you can be or the best that God wants you to be. That sign up there is work righteousness. The message here is grace. It's only God that can save. You and I are beggars coming to the Master and asking for a handout of forgiveness. Yes, from Caiaphas's perspective and human beings, it was all about job security. But from God's perspective, that's the perspective we really want, is it not? I want to know how God thinks. I don't want to know how you think, how I think, how the world thinks. I want to know how God thinks. And from God's perspective, it was all about salvation. Not job security, salvation. How could he get you and me, being the people that we are, into heaven? Wow, was that going to be a job? Well, the first part was to get Jesus to the cross with his blood to wash away our sins. And of course, with his first saying, Father, forgive them, his last saying, Father, into your hand, Father, Father, he kept the whole Ten Commandments on the cross also for you and me. He accomplished salvation. The only thing is, there was some more work to do, right? Because you don't waltz into heaven just because Jesus died for you. The key that opens it is a thing called faith. And that has to be given by the Holy Spirit, who was also at Calvary. How do you think that thief on the cross came to believe and say, remember me when you come into your kingdom? The Holy Spirit was there to work faith in his heart. The whole triune God was there. I know the Father was there because he went away. And I know he also came back because Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit. Our God was there. Caiaphas wasn't going to save you at the cross. The repentant thief was not going to save you. Mary wasn't going to save you at the foot of the cross. Only Jesus is the Savior. His perspective is that he loves you, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's going to see us all the way through to the time that he comes back. That's his perspective. We often get all bogged down with what is the human perspective. I go back to the text in closing because this is so good, where John in verse 51 says, Caiaphas did not think of this himself. No, God thought of it all. God had it all planned. And Jesus was a willing participant who, for you and me, for his love for us, went to the cross, let the nails be driven through, took the mocking, even took his father forsaking him so that he had to suffer hell for you and me. For that, we come to Lent, and we know that our God is the one who had it all worked out, and he will continue to work it out in your life and my life also. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.